Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. I want to welcome you to another edition of the Miracle Man Show here for Wednesday, the 9th of October of 2019. And we're so glad that you could join us tonight, wherever you may be, however you may be accessing this great program tonight. We're so glad you could. Well, we're so glad you would, that you have made the choice to join us tonight, wherever you are, however you're accessing the program. I'm just so grateful to God that you've chosen to come learn tonight.
Yep.
From the Word of God, as we are gonna, we're gonna go get into the Word of the Lord for a little bit tonight, and we also got quite a bit of sports stuff tonight. Actually, we don't just have football. We got some Major League Baseball playoffs, and we got some Red Wings too, so we got quite a bit of other stuff going on. I want to say hello to my family listening down in the Detroit area. We have my brother who lives in the South. He's listening with us from, and he's in down in the Detroit area with my parents. So, hello to you folks. We're so glad, every one of you listeners, wherever you may be, that you've chosen to tune in tonight. Don't worry, Ray. I will discuss the Red Wings. But briefly, I knew you would be wondering, but we'll get there. And we may have discussed some other picks, but I'll tell you, listeners, why I picked what I picked when the time comes. Right now is not the time for me to do that. What I will do briefly right now, though, is mention some of the best stuff you can get at Steak and Shake. What I personally recommend is that garlic burger. It's actually called the garlic double with fries. And then if you choose to get a shake, I would go with the peanut butter shake. And then the eggnog shake once we get to the holidays.
Well, I don't like that one.
Why do you like eggnog?
Well,
why?
I don't know. It just sounds, I don't even know what it tastes like. It just sounds gross.
Tastes like Christmas. Sure, that's what it tastes like.
Oh, maybe I'll try it.
Well, being what you said about it, but then again, you can't knock something until you try it.
That's right. Do you put cinnamon in
here? Not me, because this is a shake at Steak and Shake.
Oh, okay.
I drink some eggnog at Christmas, and I just drink it by itself. And I can see why a lot of people don't like that, but I do. A lot of people like to put it in some other things, but
yeah, they do.
Not me, just a shake or by itself.
Yep. I wonder what other shakes will come out with besides eggnog.
Like I was saying, Steak and Shake has an awful lot.
I'm going to have to check that out.
Yeah, you will. Listeners, I'm an earthquake and shake listeners in case you're wondering. Is in Lansing, but then there's one at Great Lakes Crossing that is right next to it that is basically also far from this area. And then there's others around Michigan. Of course, my favorite one is the one that's right outside of Great Lakes Crossing. I also really like the one at 14 Mile and 75, as there is a Krispy Kreme right next to it, I believe. And Krispy Kreme is, it always hits the spot. It's always a winner. They have a lot of great donuts, different, really good donuts that you can choose from. And they're always a winner. You say, what was your favorite kind you've had? I don't know.
Do you think they come out with like a peppermint or candy cane?
Yeah, they might. Oh, Christmas.
They might.
They might. But I don't know. Like I was saying. But the first one of those is, like I was saying, is down at 14 Mile. They used to have one in Flint, but sadly, Krispy Kreme Corporate decided to shut it down. It's always that dumb balance sheet.
Yep. Shutting down all the cool restaurants.
Yeah, like I always feel like it's like, I mean, like, half of these CEOs could give up part of their salary. To keep their places open, but for whatever reason, they don't want to. Sounds to me just like the rich young ruler in the Bible. Literally. Sounds just like the rich young ruler. Well, cool. No, he was greedy. The rich young ruler was greedy.
I'm going to have to read that.
Yep. I get past it tonight when I was earlier today when I was preparing, but that's not the story I'm going to read, listeners. I'm going to read the story tonight about Jesus feeding the 4,000 and the miracle of multiplication. And we'll get to that in just a little bit. What was I going to say? I was just thinking here for a second. Oh, that's right. By the way, if you're wondering about those Steak and Shakes, they are open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And I believe you can get everything all day. I believe. Don't quote me on it.
You have to drive down there,
right? Yep, you are. Like I said, these things are...
I have a little audio on your page, but good Tim, I have been at a train ride but, to St. Marie to Canada.
Moving on. So, listeners, I want to encourage you really quick to please tell others, people that you know, how they can be a part of this great radio program. And whether you want to talk to me or whether you want to call in. By the way, if you want to call in and talk to me, the phone line is always open while we are on the air. And we can discuss basically anything you wish to discuss as long as it's not political. If I ever say one word politically on the show, other than encouraging you to vote, it would be led by God. Other than that, I won't be doing it. I will say right now that as Christians, one of the best ways we can get this country turned towards God is for us Christians to do our part and vote in the elections. And to vote biblical. Don't vote, you know, for necessarily just for your pocketbook or for your what you think about whether climate change is either man-made or whether you think that it's always ongoing and has always changed forever for since creation or any other issues. The biggest thing to vote for is issues that relate to biblical. Vote based on that.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm going to say. I'm also going to tell you, if you call in and you want to discuss politics, I'm going to tell you to pray for those who have authority over you, as it says in Timothy. So if you call in, you'll hear me saying this a lot next year, especially as we get close to the election. You'll hear me telling you that you need to be praying and that you need to vote. Because, yes, every vote does count. And so the number to call in to be a part of this great show is area code 215-383-3810. Once again, that number is area code 215-383-3810. Listen for the prompt, and when you hear the prompt that says to call into a live show, press 1. You'll want to go ahead and press 1, and you'll be taken through the call screener. And my assistant will let me know that we have a call coming in. I'll say yes. We'll get you on the air. You'll be free to talk to me. And that's even, you know, maybe it's about sports. Maybe you want to ask me what kind of wood used on the ark. Maybe you want to ask me why you think the grass is greener on the other side. or something like that, whatever it is. Just call in and ask. So you can just feel free, like I said, to call in. All right, now. I have a song that I want to sing for you. And it's called basically in front. What it's about is about, you know, the can't go back to the beginning, can't know what tomorrow will bring. Talks about, you know, not for a moment was I forsaken. So I'm going to give it a look. Can't go back to the beginning. Can't be sure what tomorrow will bring. But I know here in the middle that you are what you promised to be. I'm not enough unless you come. We need you here again. Is all I want, is all you are. We need you here again. Can't go back to the beginning. can't be sure what tomorrow will bring. But I know here in the middle that you are who you promised to be. I'm not enough unless you come. We need you here again. 'Cause all you want is all you are. And we need you here again. I'm not enough unless you come. We need you here again. 'Cause all I want is all you are. 'Cause we need you here again. Not for a minute was I forsaken. The Lord is in this place. The Lord is in this place. Come, Holy Spirit, we want your presence. The Lord is in this place. The Lord is in this place. Dry bones are here. Dry bones are aching. The Lord is in this place. The Lord is in this place. Come, Holy Spirit. Dry bones are aching. The Lord is in this place. The Lord is in this place.
Very nice.
Thank you, Jesus. You know, Lord God, if we go back to the beginning, Lord, we never know what tomorrow's going to bring, but you're always here, Lord God, and you never leave us, you never forsake us, and you're the all-knowing, powerful God. And I pray, Lord God, that you would just fill this place with your presence. You'd fill us all with your great presence as we seek you, honor you tonight. Well, thank you, Lord God, for this show tonight, for all these listeners who have made the decision to tune in and to learn something tonight about you, about living for you, about walking by faith. And I just thank you, Lord God, that you just bless them. You know, Lord God, what these people have need of more than what I know. And I just pray, Lord God, that you, thank you, that you are the meter of the need. You are the one who meets our needs when we have needs. And I just thank you that you come up in and lead us and guide us. And I give you praise and honor and glory. Now, Lord God, wait a minute. Did I just hear that the Astros lost? Who just lost? I'm just asking him who just lost. Sorry about that, listeners. We'll see. Wait. And Lord God, I just thank you that you are just with us in your name. And I confess over this program tonight in your name that finances are coming into this program, that sponsors and partners are coming into this program, Lord God. I thank you that increases in listenership are coming to this program. And most important of all, Lord God, the most important thing is that we have kingdom, people coming into the kingdom as a result of this great radio program. And I give you great praise and honor and glory for that tonight. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Let's go to Matthew 14. I'm going to start with verse 22. And then I'm going to go down to Matthew. So we're going to go look at two different texts, because there's two different things I want you to see. And we're just going to read these two passages. I'm going to start with 22 of chapter 14 and go to the end of the chapter, and then put a bookmark in Matthew 15. At verse number 29. We're going to look at Jesus walking on water first. All right. And I just want to encourage you guys, please, for the next little bit, whatever I do, you do follow along. So I just sang. My prayer is that you sang along if you knew the lyrics. If I pray, you pray. If I sing a song unto the Lord, you sing. As I read and study the Word of God, you study along with me. And the way you're going to get the most out of it is if you follow along as well. Praise God. Verse 22 of Matthew 14, NIV. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But the boat was already a considerable distance away from land. It was buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. During the fourth watch of the night, so basically middle of the night, 2, 3, 4, 5 in the morning, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it is you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and he was beginning to sink, and he cried out, "Lord, save me!" Immediately Jesus reached out his hand, and he caught him. "Oh, you of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Surely you are the Son of God." When they had crossed over, they landed at Gennesaret. And when the men of that place recognized Jesus, they sent word to all of the surrounding countryside. People brought all of their sick to him and begged him to let the sick just touch his cloak. And all who touched him were healed. Matthew 15:29, go there with me. Praise God. You shouldn't have too many pages to turn. We're racing. I think I beat you. I think I might have beat you. Unless one of your listeners at home, you claim you beat me. I don't know. I can't verify it, but maybe you beat me, maybe you didn't. All right. If you're not there yet, then just go ahead and follow. Follow along if you're there. If you're struggling, just go ahead and catch up. And as I said, I'm in 29, verse 29 of chapter 15 of Matthew. Jesus left there and went along the Sea of Galilee. Then he went up on a mountainside and sat down. Great crowds came to him, bringing the lame, the blind, the crippled, the mute, and many others. And he laid them at his feet, and he healed them. The people were amazed when they saw the mute speaking, the crippled made well, the lame walking, and the blind seeing. And they praised the God of Israel. Jesus called his disciples to him and said, I have compassion for these people, because they have already been with me for 3 days. And I've had nothing to eat. I do not want to send them away hungry, or they may faint on the way. The disciples answered, where could we get enough bread in this remote place to feed all these people? How many loaves do you have? Jesus asked. Seven, they replied, and a few small fish. He told the crowd to sit down on the ground. And then he took the seven loaves and the fish, and when he had given thanks, he broke them and gave them to the disciples, and they in turn to the people. They all ate, and they were satisfied. Afterward, the disciples picked up seven basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. The number of those who ate was about 4,000, besides women and children. After Jesus had sent the crowd away, he got into the boat and went to the vicinity of Magadan. All right. Let me just check the clock. Wow. Got right to work. Didn't waste too much time. So, first of all, about Jesus walking on the water. So, you have Jesus who is basically finishing up with his crusade that he was doing. And he basically told the disciples, Disciples, why don't you folks go get in the boat? And I'm sure you had directions for where they were going to go next. And why don't you go over towards the next place? I'll be there in a little bit. So, he dismissed the people, took some time to pray, and then he went towards the boat. But there was quite a big storm. And then when the disciples saw something in the distance, they didn't think to themselves, "Oh, it's Jesus." They thought it was a ghost. And then Peter went as far as to say, "Jesus, if it's you, won't you just let me come to you on the water and show me who you are that way?" And he basically said, "All right, let's do it." And so Jesus Peter went toward Jesus, but then when he felt the wind and all the waves, Peter began to sink, and then he basically started to yell, "Lord, save me." And then, what do you know, he goes after Peter for his lack of faith. Well, in a way, I look at it and go, it was a pretty big storm. They didn't have high wind warnings. They did not have a National Weather Service to say, there's high rip currents or there's high waves, don't go on the water today. And that was the only means for Jesus to get to the next place where he was going to do his next meeting. Because for those 3 years, Jesus traveled place to place, preaching the good news. That was what he was sent to do. They didn't have airplanes. They didn't have cars, trains, buses. They had a boat. We'll just call it the gospel boat. Because obviously every minister aircraft has a name, you know, depending on what they want to call it. So we'll say it's the gospel boat or the Jesus boat. Like I said, Jesus comes near the boat, and then they're in the boat. Then when they walk, get back on the boat, Jesus calms it down, the storm, and then he says, all those other disciples say, "Surely you are the Son of God." But they had to see a miracle from him in order for him to prove that he was the Son of God. They had to see some proof. I already know who the Son of God is. Even though I have had miracles in my life, I still know who the Son of God is. I do. I do. All right. Now, about this, Jesus feeding the 4,000 in Matthew 15. What you have going on here is Jesus is had all these people there for 3 days. I don't know what they did for the first two and three quarter days, but I know the last little bit, they're talking about Jesus is basically having a healing altar call. And people are laying the sick at his feet, and Jesus is healing them. Right there, where they are. Right there in that open field. Where there was 4,000 just men. Because it was too big to do it in the synagogue because people were too hungry. They were too hungry to see God move. So they apparently filled an open field with 4,000 men plus women and children. I have to imagine there was like a good, 8,000-10,000 people there. Like I said, they wanted the word of God. And these people, Jesus said, I have compassion on these people because they've been with me for 3 days and I've had nothing to eat. And he said, rather than just shut it down and let them all go grab food, mind you, it was a remote place. And Kelly, 3,000 years ago, there was McDonald's, Burger King, Sonic, Wendy's, and all that, right?
Yeah.
Thousands of years ago.
Not 1,000 years ago.
Back when Jesus was walking the earth. Yeah, there was Sonic, Wendy's, McDonald's. Oh. I just realized. That's right, there wasn't. In fact, it was a remote place, and then the disciples are all saying, where are we going to get everything to feed all these people? And then he asked him, what do we got? And then they basically told him, 7 loaves, and then we got some fish. And then, seeing all that, he took the fish, he blessed them, told everyone to sit down, sit down orderly in groups. Jesus blessed it, prayed over it, and then everyone ate. They all ate and were satisfied. 4,000 people plus women and children. When there was only 7 loaves of fish, 7 loaves of bread, and a few fish. And there were 7 basketfuls of leftover food, broken pieces that were left over. Because everyone had enough to eat. Now, some of you may wonder, how did it get multiplied? did you just have a drone strike? And he goes, vroom. Excuse me, I'm full. Vroom. Vroom. Maybe, but the Bible doesn't say that. My Bible does say, however, that they all ate and were satisfied. You know, I'm convinced of something. Our God is the God of multiplication. God doesn't just want us to have enough. He wants us to have more than enough. More than enough blessing. More than enough strength. More than enough It's not just finances. It can be food in your cupboards. It can be, you know, strength in your body. It can be a lot of different things. And all the different ways that you can be blessed. Talents and what have you. Our God is the God of more than enough. I've heard a story of someone, now mind you, I heard about this at a crusade that I had been at some years ago. So there's this person, forget what disease they had, but didn't have enough of the medicine that they needed. So they're praying to God, asking him for the healing. But God multiplied that medicine. And they ended up having enough of the medicine that they needed until they could get it refilled. Now, God doesn't say where the extra fish came from. I mean, the Bible doesn't say where the extra fish came from, where the extra bread came from. It's called a miracle. And when God does miracles, it doesn't always say what he did to make it happen. Example, this one. The multiplication. And I'm convinced that he wants to multiply us. He wants to, in Ephesians 3:20, us, bless us, give us strength. If only we do what God tells us to do, and if only we seek his face, and if only we have faith in him. By the way, some of you may ask, what is faith? Well, the substance of things hoped, in a way, it's faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Hebrews 11:1. Now, what else is faith? Faith, in its other definition, faith is trust in God. Yeah, trusting in God. That he will do what he said he would do in his word. We'll just name a name. If I tell Billy Bob, if Billy Bob tells me he has donuts in his car, and we'll just say we're at church, And we're going to say Billy Bob has donuts in his car, and he'll get them to me after the service. Then I will have trust in him, faith in him, that after church, when we're going out to our vehicles, in my faith, I'll find Billy Bob, we'll go out to his car, and he'll give me the donuts. Or maybe he'll bring the donuts to my car. Faith. It's not, faith isn't doubt and like, oh, I hope he's good for it. I hope he's good for it. No, is he going to bring the donuts or not? You know, I have a big donut craving for those peanut butter donuts. Is he going to come through and deliver them for me, or do I have to wait for a whole nother Sunday for him to bring the donuts? Well, that kind of doubt and unbelief, that's what Christians do to God all the time. For whatever reason, they didn't get the miracle in the time they wanted. They wanted it to be. They got a bad report and got discouraged. They... A lot of different reasons why people just decide to just not have faith in God, or decide to let their faith take a vacation. And sometimes, not just take a vacation, but they just choose, you know, to go into doubt mode. And that's dangerous. Some of your parents, if you doubted your kids the way you doubt God, whew. That's the truth, though, isn't it? Yeah, yes. A lot of us do a lot better job at trusting humans than what we do trusting God.
I believe that.
Is that the truth?
Yes,
and as you see, with that previous passage I had read, those disciples, rather than saying, "Hallelujah, it's Jesus, thank you, Jesus," it's a ghost. That right there is a sign of either it was that dark or they had that much unbelief. And they had followed him for a while, quite a while. But when they needed help, they kind of went to unbelief mode. But when they were with him working with some other things, certain other things, some of them knew exactly what he was doing and helped him. Other ones were kind of, but like I was saying, some of us Christians, you know, some of us, the reason we doubt him, could it just be maybe a lack of church attendance? You know, how's your church attendance? Based on when you have. Are you coming all the time? Or are you coming basically, let me think here. You come Sunday morning. You come Sunday morning. You skip Sunday night. You skip Thursday night. And then you come Sunday morning. You skip Sunday night. You meant to come Thursday night because your favorite guest speaker who hasn't been there in like 8 years is going to be there. But, oh, you're sick. So then what happens? Well, one thing that will happen is that pastor will think it's very normal for you to not come to church on Thursday night or Sunday night because you skipped so much midweek service and Sunday night service. Plus, they're just not used to seeing you, and they have no idea what's going on. But not only that, when you're only going to church on Sunday morning, and even then, if you're only going every second Sunday, I saw a report that said the average person in America goes to church every 5 weeks. The average church going person every 5 weeks.
I believe that.
No wonder we have a lot of people that are doubting. Going to church once every 5 weeks in this day and age, that's going to take a lot of that faith right out of you, because faith doesn't come by reading. Faith comes by hearing. And hearing the word of God. But I read eight chapters a day. Oh. Do you overhear it? Well, no. That's the problem. You should find a spirit-filled pastor. If it's your pastor, awesome. Find their stuff. Listen to it. So you go to a church that only has Sunday morning service, even though it might be, even though it's a spirit-filled church. Well, if you put this stuff on YouTube, listen to it sometimes in between. Get that faith built up. Because every time you listen to the Word of God, faith is being imparted to you. That includes, by the way, listeners, that includes when you're listening to me. Faith is being deposited as I sit here and teach you. Now, if you believe in God through a miracle, you have to have faith that He will do that miracle. So you need multiplication, money, whatever it is. God knows what you have need of before you ask Him. He wants to hear you ask. Ask, and you shall be given. Seek, and you will find. Knock, the door will be open to you. That's the Bible. I was quoting a Bible verse. I did not make that up. In case some of you listeners are like, where did you get that from? The Bible is the textbook of this radio program. It's what I use. You say, why the Bible? Because you can never go wrong with the logos of the Word of God, with the red letters that are missing from so many churches across this great country. By the way, when there's red letters in the Bible, who is that speaking? Oh, it's Jesus. Jesus is speaking when it's red letters. And where do I get all this from? Because sometimes pastor will ask. My pastor will ask. That's kind of where I get that from. So it's Jesus speaking when there's red letters in your Bible. Now, in my Bible, as I'm believing for healing, I don't know that they're red, but it obviously tells me when Jesus is speaking, and That's how I know that they're red. Because they're red because Jesus is speaking. Why did he choose red? Why do you think it got chosen to be red? Because it's important?
Yeah.
A lot of times stuff that's highlighted in red, does that mean it's super important? Oh, that can be it, because other letters highlighted in other colors can mean other things. Or if it's just normal, it can mean. But let me just check my time real quick.
Good.
Oh, good. 7:25. My alarm is going to go off in 4 minutes. And got a lot of stuff to do. Lord God, I thank you tonight for this time in your word. Thank you that we're going to work on building our faith in you, trusting in you, Lord God. You know, no matter how hard it may seem, to just keep believing you, knowing that you will do what you said in your word that you would do. And I just thank you, Lord God, for these great miracles that you did, for these people in the Bible. And I just pray that every one of these people received something from you tonight, Lord God. And I give you praise and honor and glory for that. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. All right, now, tonight, in Major League Baseball, in the American League, you have the Astros facing off against the Rays in Houston. Verlander pitched last night. He gave up several runs in the first inning and then gave up a home run later on that resulted in Houston losing 4-0 to the Rays in Tampa. As I said, game five is tonight. The winner of that plays the Yankees, who did, in fact, sweep the Twins. Oh, and by the way, this is not the second time. This is not the first time ever that New York swept Minnesota out of the playoffs. You may remember, Kelly, they've done that a couple times before that you know of, didn't they? I want to say twice within a 3-year span, 09 and 06, that Minnesota took New York out. But both of those other times, I believe they were sweeps also. Don't put the Twins and the Yankees together because you know what the result will be. Three times equals rigged. Don't you think?
I believe that.
It's just like some of these carnival games at the fair.
Exactly. It's one big freak show.
Yep. Right? Yep. And Minnesota, who we thought was the best team in the league, lost 3 in a row. All to the Yankees. Knocked out.
Knocked out.
Astros, on the other hand, well, Tampa Bay's been giving them some trouble, but if only they would have won. Houston would have won game four. That would have been the end of it. And Tampa Bay wouldn't be being pesky, still trying to sneak their way into the next round of the playoffs. Because I want Houston in there because I want Verlander to keep pitching.
How old is he anyway?
I want to say he's like 36, going to be 37. Maybe he's 37.
Is that old for baseball?
Not for a pitcher, not super old, but getting there, I would say. Getting. Sorry about that, listeners. That was just my alarm. That was just my alarm that says that it was time for my sermon to die. Which, I mean, my alarm is Pastor Barclay had said once, he had said that one of his fathers in the faith would be very proud of Pastor that he beat his alarm once. Because he closed right before his alarm went off because there was like a bad ice storm outside or something. And then his alarm went off, like right as he dismissed, his alarm went off. So he said, and the alarm is supposed to be the end of his message, not necessarily the end of the service. And he said, oh, I beat my alarm. And so that's pretty funny. Nonetheless, putting the alarm to the side, back to the baseball playoffs. On the National League side, you have the Braves taking on the Cardinals in Game 5. And then on the other side, you have the Dodgers taking on the Nationals in Game 5. So those NLCSs will still be decided tonight. Those NLCSs will determine what the NLCS will be. All right. Now, hockey. The Red Wings, well, let's just face it. We knew the Red Wings were not just going to go 82-0. Maybe someday some hockey team will, but wasn't the Red Wings year to do that, as yesterday they fall 3-1. Mind you, this one was at Little Caesars Arena. And the two wins they had to start the year were on the road against the Stars and the Predators in Game 1, which my brother was actually at. So that was actually pretty cool that he got to be there at that game.
Have you ever gone to a lot of baseball games, Rick?
Have I gone to what?
To baseball games down in Detroit?
Actually, I have been to Tigers games all of the last 9 seasons.
Oh, cool.
And in 2006. So I've been to 10 different Tigers games. But the Pistons, listeners, the NBA kicks off the regular season fairly soon. And so we'll be able to look forward to that. Hopefully the Pistons can improve as they have Derrick Rose coming on. Just hopefully he can stay clear of the injury bug this year, as the injury bug tends to bite players when they least expect it. It's kind of like a... It's kind of like a... seeking whom it may devour. But now, for football, I want to welcome you, by the way, to Football Central, which is brought to you every time that we do a Football Central, Monday and Wednesday, always brought to you by the Blizzard at Dairy Queen. And tomorrow is, by the way, Cheap Blizzard Day. So why not go to your local Dairy Queen and grab a small blizzard for $1.40, including tax in this state, like $1.42, $1.43. And you can grab yourself the blizzard of the month, which this month happens to be the pumpkin pie blizzard.
I knew it.
And it is during the fall, so
what's next month?
Why wouldn't you? Well, I don't know. Probably going to be a Christmas one, I would guess.
Yeah.
Or maybe they'll do something different for Thanksgiving. I don't know. Just have to wait and see.
Candy corn this month and then election.
I don't know if they have a candy corn one or not. Maybe they should have a candy corn M&M blizzard.
Oh, man. You know how good that would be.
Yes. Yes. Oh, tell me about it. Man, oh, man.
I went to Kroger today and they didn't have any.
They didn't have them?
No, they were out.
Wow.
I should have put the
stock. Anyhow, for football, the games we're going to be picking this week are, first off, we start as usual with the high schools. Dow at Western. For the Chargers, they are back to 500. They were 500 a couple weeks ago. They had a loss. Then they had a win to put them back to 500. They're facing a Bay City Western team that actually surprised Bay City John Glenn last week with 35-21. But the Dodgers, they got a great win of their own, 56-0 against Saginaw, who still has not scored a single point this year. Not one. There's another school in Detroit area who hasn't scored a single point either. I want to say it's Troy High School. Hard to believe, Troy, of all places. Troy.
Troy. That's where Chick-fil-A is.
Sorry, what?
Yep.
Not only that, but that's one of the more affluent towns in Michigan. And so you would think that they'd always be really good at football. Not always. When I look at this, what do I see? Like I was saying, I see a Western team who is 2-4. Dow, who is 3-3. I do think Dow is a bit better of a team than what Western is, a little bit deeper. Is Western trying to improve? Yes, I think they are. Do I think they'll win one more game this year at least? Yes, I do. But my prediction for this game is Dow Jones Industrial Average, 38. West of Bay City, 19. So 38-19, Chargers over Warriors. Midland Comics at home versus Bay City Central. And senior night, because I was gonna say senior night. So it's the night where the football seniors are gonna be recognized. I'm sure the football seniors, I'm sure the cheerleading seniors will also be recognized. And so it's gonna be pretty neat. They're taking on the Wolves. They're going to also have the 8th grade band members from Northeast. This is so that they can get a taste of what being in the band is like. So it's kind of neat. Do the 8th graders from Western Middle get to play for a game with Western High's band?
I'm not sure if they do. Or not. Does Midland get to?
Well, Northeast will be doing this on Friday.
Oh.
This will be on Friday. They'll be playing with them, sitting with them, and it's actually pretty cool how they do that.
I want
to
check that out.
Yeah, it's pretty neat. And so it makes it pretty neat. Now West. Now, Central, they only have one win out of their six games. The first two games, they were sloppy, had no answer, got blown out totally. The Dow game, they were pretty scrappy, but then Dow ended up putting it away. Then they had a game where they struggled. Then they got a win. Then they had a game where they played Heritage kind of tough. They played Heritage tougher than what Dow did. Figure that out.
It's
going to
be interesting.
That makes me Friday.
Yeah.
So that make that because West Central, even though they haven't always been very good lately, they've always been kind of scrappy, Central, haven't they?
Yeah.
So they might be the best 1-5 team that there is. They're not going to make the playoffs. So they can play to at least get 3 wins.
Do you think that's even possible?
There's 3 games left. I think they'll probably lose to Midland, but then win their other 2 games, I'm thinking.
I think 2.
Because you think they're only going to win 1 more game? I think they got to play Saginaw High, who hasn't scored a point yet.
They'll win that one.
You think they'll lose to Western?
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know. I just
guess. Which means that Western's probably going to go 4-5.
Oh, boy.
Probably going to go 4-5, which is actually a step forward from what they have been. So for this particular game, the Central at Midland, give me Comic Book 41, Bay City's Best 19.
Woo-hoo.
Midland will put them away, but I do think for a while, I think Central's going to be kind of scrappy. Maybe even score first on us. I could possibly see them doing that. Or something like that, because they like to play tough, even if they don't win. That's just the way they are. That's how they were with Frazier. That's how they are with this new coach. I want to say Morley Frazier was over at Central for, 30 years? As that is a program rooted in tradition. That's what I've always liked about Central.
They have a really cool
field. They really do. But I'm moving on to college. Michigan facing Illinois Saturday, noon. Well, Illinois might not be the greatest team. Michigan must fix their offensive struggles that haunted them this last game.
Michigan anyway. How many wins they got?
3 wins, 1 loss. 4 wins, 1 loss. 4-1.
They're still playing like crap, right?
The offense.
Yeah.
The defense is good. The offense is still not so great. If the offense can get it fixed, they should not have a problem. If not, then they can win, but it'll be a lot closer than what we would like.
Yeah.
My pick, Michigan, 40. Loud noises, 13. Because Illinois, you didn't get it, noises. And so that's what made me think of, loud noises. Yep, loud and annoying noises. Yep. Yep, that's a good one. And then we have State taking on Wisconsin Saturday, 3:30. Questions. My big thing with Wisconsin, I have to say, Wisconsin is really doing good. Do I think they're as good as the candy bars, that team to the south, not quite. I do think they are a big challenge for Michigan State. Because that team to the south really shut down Michigan State's offense. Even though Michigan State only allowed 14 yards in the first quarter, and then after that, MSU just got spanked. I do expect Michigan State to play Wisconsin a bit tougher than Michigan did, though.
Really?
One can hope. My pick for this one is cheese curds, 30. Izzo State, 17. Yes, I do. Yep. Okay, NFL time. Now, something to note, there's no Sunday games in these two picks. Thursday night, what? Thursday night. On Thursday night, we have the Patriots versus the Giants at 8:20. And though the Giants aren't the greatest this year, they always have a tendency to play the Patriots tough whenever they play them. They knocked off they knocked them off in the Super Bowl twice back in 08 and 2012. And so when I look at this, I think this could be another tough one too. But my pick is still red, white, and blue, 24, gigantic, 20. Now, Monday Night Football. For Monday Night Football, we have Lions at Green Bay to take on the Packers at 8:15 at Lambeau Field. And last year, Lions shut out Green Bay 30-0. Keep in mind that I think that Green Bay rested a bunch of their starters, so I think that was a big factor. This time, that won't be the case, as it's only week 5 of the season, so why would they be, I mean week 6 of the season, so why would they be setting all their starters down? That being said, the Lions. And I do expect them to give Detroit some trouble at times. I do, however, think Detroit will continue to fight like they've done in all their games. They've fought and clawed a lot, and that's kind of made them fun to watch, even though they've had problems with pesky penalties and the like and turning over the ball. They still found a way to claw and fight, which is what good teams are supposed to do.
So my
pick is Frozen Chosen, 29, Lie Downs, 25. As the Lions may have the lead at times, but then their defense will decide to take a nap, as Rodgers is probably going to throw for a touchdown in the last couple of minutes.
What's the Packers? How many wins do they have?
They have four wins, one loss. Detroit, on the other hand, is 2-1-1. And then they had a bye week, which is why they didn't play last week. That's why there's that discrepancy, because you're going to say, shouldn't they all have played the same game, the same amount of games? No. Because different teams have bye weeks at different times. Why some teams will get their bye week in week 5, while other teams may get it in like week 13, week 14.
What week is it this weekend?
Number 6. But why these teams get them in different weeks all the time, I don't know. And the teams don't necessarily get to pick when it is. The league hands it down for them. It's kind of strange how it all works. I don't know why it does. I just know that it does. I'm not the NFL insider. By that, I mean I'm fan, but I mean I'm not like one who works for any of the administration or anything like that. If I was an administrator or something, maybe I'd have more of an idea as to why they do it, how they do it, when they're making all these schedules and who gets their bye week when they get the bye week. It is. It is when it is.
It is what it is.
As I was going to say, it is when it is, how it is. And by that, I mean when that bye week is. Because, you know, especially, you know, I think the best time to have those bye weeks is when your team is banged up and you've been really playing some hard teams lately, and as a result, maybe you've suffered several injuries. And in a lot of your really tough games, you're bound to have at least one player go down, even if it's for a minute. That Midland kid, I think he ended up coming back in, didn't he?
Yeah, I think.
Yeah, just a cramp, it looked like. But,
but still,
you know, you hate to see a player go down
in
injury. But it's kind of what happens out there on the battlefield, I mean the football field. It's kind of what happens, you know, they're getting beat up, tackled. Hopefully not helmet to helmet, but still, even if there was a way to get rid of all of the head injuries, there would still be leg injuries. There would still be injuries to other parts of the body just because of football.
Did you see where that boy passed away from getting tackled? I don't know where it was. It was in the news last week. He was a high school player.
Did he die right there on the field?
He died once he got to the hospital.
Oh. Did they? Was he one of those who actually got up under his own power even?
He got up, and then they went out and got him off the field, and then they took him by car, not by ambulance, to the hospital.
Did he? He tried getting up on his own, and then he fell back down.
Yeah.
That's what happened. And then they got the cart out.
They got the cart, and then they assessed him. And they didn't even call an ambulance. That's what was weird, you know.
Because you're supposed to have an ambulance right there just in case.
It was weird.
Because usually you have the cart.
That takes you to the EMS, I think, right?
Or at least or sometimes if you get carted, you just get carted to the locker room sometimes. You know, it depends on what the need may be, depending on how serious the injury is. But like I was saying, though, about these bye weeks, the best time to have them is when you're really struggling with injuries. And every team in the NFL, you're going to have injuries. In college, you're going to have some injuries. In high school, well, you're going to have some injuries, even if they're not necessarily the ones who miss games because they were hurt.
Yeah.
There'll be play stoppages, you know, guys going down with cramps. Just a fact of the game. Yep. Fact of the game. That's how it works. And part of why you listeners are seeing so many more penalties the last few years, you know, these roughing the passers and stuff like that. It's about safety. It's not about, oh, it's to be dumb. It's to take everything out of the game. Refs just, you know, take a back seat. No. Trying to do a job. But at the same time, no, refs aren't always perfect. Sometimes they'll miss something. They may miss something that could be maybe a hit to the head that may knock someone unconscious, for example, just maybe, even though it may not be helmet to helmet. And it may not be, I think there was hit like that just this past week that was not even illegal. Doesn't that sound about right? You remember seeing something somewhere?
I have,
yeah. Yeah, I mean, just a couple of days ago where there was, well, I mean, there was a hit that was actually legal, but it knocked someone unconscious.
Yep. I'm trying to think what day it was.
But I just know it happened, and it's just part of, cause it's part of the game of football. And injuries are part of sports, period. Hockey, baseball, basketball.
Boxing.
Oh, yeah, of course. Of course, because you tackle each other and punch each other.
And punch drunk.
They're running lights. Yeah, your name was... There's no such thing as an injury sport, an injury-free sport. So if you're concerned about your kid is an injury, maybe some sports you might have... Less of a risk of being hurt, but, well, in sports, someone's going to get hurt, you know, and if you're an athlete and you've been for a lot of years, I'm sure at some point you've been injured. Pretty much a guarantee, huh?
Yep.
So you've had to been injured to the point where you might have been down a day or a couple days or something. By down a day, I'm like down a game or something, you know, like that you couldn't play, or maybe a day you couldn't practice, but you were still there for your teammates.
We'll get back up. And...
Well, at least you're there for your teammates,
right?
Because though you're injured, that doesn't mean you're finished and you just can't be there for your team anymore, because you may be down, but you get back up again, which is what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to get back up on our feet. All right. I confess Psalm 91 over us in the name of Jesus. I say that in the name of Jesus, we're going to live in great peace and great joy and prosperity and be a powerful witness for you, Jesus, until I see you folks next time. I love you. And until next time, God first, God always. So long, everybody.
That was awesome.